How's everybody enjoying MMS so far? How's that keynote this morning? Was that some cool stuff? I've been on the product team since we were at MMS last year, and one of the neatest things is to watch, for myself, watching the progression, as I'm sure it is for you, of what we talked about last year and what we actually showed this year. We set the vision, we talked about, private cloud, and the ability to make your jobs easier from an IT professional's perspective. And we, from what I could see on the tweets during the keynote, by and large, we delivered on that. Yes, there's more to do. There always is. But there's some really cool stuff that I look at and even go, wow, we can actually do that now. For those who don't know me, my name is Sean Christensen. I'm a senior product marketing manager within the System Center team here at Microsoft. I have the honor of presenting to you on this concept and topic of service delivery and automation, one of the key capabilities in System Center 2012. How many came to my session yesterday? Okay, just to level set a couple expectations. There will be some repeat of what you heard yesterday's session for those who came to it, just because there's some commonalities across configuring and deploying service delivery and automation capabilities within System Center and the monitoring and operating capabilities within service delivery and automation. So for those of you who were at the session yesterday, there will be a little bit of repeat. My apologies for that, but it's to help level set and make sure everybody is across how we think about this area of service delivery and automation. Really what we call SDNA internally, service delivery and automation is the people and the systems process capabilities within your data center, within your private cloud, within your IT organizations. And what I spend most of my time talking about this with our customers and markets. If you saw the Jumpstart cloud, private cloud Jumpstart training that we did with Microsoft Virtual Academy, I presented on this as well to a number of online participants. Monitoring, service delivery and automation from a monitoring and operating, really how do we run and support the business, takes into account, or I want to spend time focusing on three key areas. This is not an exhaustive list, but it's the ones I look at and say, these are the most important pieces to make it better, more effective, more efficient for you to run and operate your private clouds, your data center operations inside your companies. The three areas are integration for end-to-end visibility, what I call process automation, focusing on areas like service level agreements, release management, and what I call reactive and proactive operations. And we'll spend most of our time there. And then the last area, which I think is probably one of the sexiest pieces of technology to come out of the service manager crowd, is the new reporting capabilities with Service Manager 20, or with the Service Manager component of System Center 2012. I won't spend much time on this slide because I've done this and you will see this in a number of other sessions. System Center 2012 really focuses on three things. It is intended for three things. We look at making your infrastructure productive. How do you take what you currently have and leverage it to make your organizations better? We call it heterogeneous support. How many in here are 100% purely a Microsoft shop? You have nothing else in your environments. Wow, more than I expected. Thank you. And everybody else, you've got, let's see, I'm going to guess HP, VMware, CA, BMC, IBM, ServiceNow. What am I missing? Everything else. That you need to figure out how do you make it all run together. And I have not met a single CIO, and I'm sure you haven't, that doesn't break into a cold sweat when they hear the word integration. Why? Money, time, risk. Pure and simple. System Center 2012 is about making your infrastructure more productive. Predictable applications. The best way to talk about predictable applications, I find, is to give an analogy. How many people here have children? Yeah, I have four children, from 9 down to 2. As you can tell, I probably don't get a lot of sleep. You take them to a nursery or a daycare. You go to pick them up at the end of the day, and you walk up to the door, and you hear screaming inside the room. Predictable applications is about, if you walk up to that door, you don't know what's going on. You just hear screaming, correct? It could be screams of joy, or screams of they're absolutely gone off their rocker and you just want to turn right around and walk out the door and not even come there. Predictable application is about being able to see inside those rooms. Now, why that analogy? A virtual machine is like that daycare room. Your applications run inside that virtual machine. Can you see inside of it? Can you get understanding of what's actually happening, or are you just having to deal with listening outside the door, hoping that you hear good instead of not so good? Predictable applications is, to use that analogy, being able to see inside the daycare, being able to see inside those rooms, get the knowledge you need so that you can respond quickly. It's a very simple analogy, but I find it's actually a very effective one, and people can relate. Your cloud, sorry, these are marketing terms. Your cloud is about taking concepts of cloud computing, the tenets of cloud computing, elasticity, self-service, and applying them and making them your own inside your organization to make it your cloud, using your tools, your technologies, applying cloud computing principles, leveraging System Center 2012 to make it your own, and apply industry good practices to make it your best practices for your organization, whether it's physical, virtual, or leveraging public cloud resources when you need to, and being able to manage those from a single set of tools, not having to have multiple sets of tools and maintaining multiple sets of skills. From a service delivery and automation standpoint, real simple, I spend most of my time across all of these areas. How do we make it easy from a people, process, and systems process perspective to better deliver services, better remediate services, and report on performance across the board? System Center, we talk about helping deliver IT as a service. I'll just build this entire slide out and talk to it all together. From the application owner, which is this person on the right-hand side of my right, your left, and the data center administrator, or the service provider, on the left-hand, on my left, your right. We have this interdependency or interrelationship between these two roles within our organizations. The application owner wants a self-service experience. They want their applications to be able to scale out their way on their terms, and they want it when they want it. They want to be able to, and from a data center administrator perspective, we want to be able to provide those capabilities, but provide them within some boundaries so that we can still maintain controls over our data center resources, over our infrastructure, but still enable our application owners to build out, scale out their applications, manage their applications, and respond effectively to the business needs. We encapsulate these inside of a service model, which encompasses the service template that's stored inside a virtual machine manager, the service level agreements, the daily, weekly, monthly processes and activities that need to be addressed, all the things that make that application run. Service delivery and automation is about the people, the processes, and the systems that go into making that all work and driving the configuration and deployment of those applications, services, back into the infrastructure, and supporting the monitoring and operating of them as they come back out. System Center touches every single one of these areas, whether it's app controller and service manager from a self-service perspective, orchestrator and service manager at that service delivery and automation, which is where I spend most of the sessions going to be on orchestrator and service manager, and then virtual machine manager, ops manager, config manager, and data protection manager at the back-end infrastructure, building out those, configuring and deploying your apps, monitoring and operating those. As a team, we've broken these out, and you've seen this inside the expo hall. If you come to the System Center 2012 booths, you see three booths: application management, service delivery and automation, and infrastructure management. You don't see individual components anymore. Because license-wise, yes, it's all one component, but more importantly, we look at these as capabilities that leverage all of System Center to deliver upon better application management, better infrastructure management, service delivery and automation capabilities. Now, from a SDNA, Service Delivery and Automation perspective, I look at it, that application owner and data center admin, as that service consumer and service provider. And the rest of the session is going to talk about these two relationships and three areas that focus on this. One is integration, two is reporting, and three is the automation that helps bring those two together. There is an ongoing relationship between these two that help us deliver on, ensure that the reports, the integrations that are in place, the automation from a people, from a process and systems perspective, are all happening in concert, efficiently, to deliver the best services and maintain the most efficient processes inside your organization. From an architectural standpoint, process automation starts with your CMDB. CMDB stands for Configuration Management Database. Was a term first coined back in the early 1990s that is essentially starts with an asset register but adds one additional key component to that. Anybody want to hazard a guess? Somebody said it. You were in my session yesterday. Relationships. Relationships between your different pieces of your infrastructure. Your routers, your switches, your hubs, your applications, your operating systems, the code. You need to understand and know how those are built and how those are connected. Whether you are deploying an application, whether you are maintaining an application. Let me give you an example. One of my first jobs was working on a help desk, answering the phones from very sometimes happy, sometimes not so happy customers. Most of the time it was not so happy. Person calls up, I can't print. Okay. Or I can't get onto my application. Great. There's a series of questions that I might ask. I then go to the application owner and say, hey, this is not working. Oh, it's not the application, it's the database. Okay, I go to the database administrator. Database administrator says, no, database is working fine. It's the networking guys. Does this sound familiar to anybody? Yeah? I've lived it. I know we all have. Good understanding of relationships coupled with the knowledge of things like deep application inside out operations manager help us understand and better support our applications. You can understand how an application is working, but if you don't know how it's connected to everything else, you're not able to get, you only get part of the picture. The other piece is, from an application development point of view, what if you want to deploy something new? And you want to deploy it into a part of your infrastructure, you need to understand what you actually have. I'll get into that shortly. Reporting. Reporting is the information that you contain inside your organization, inside your private clouds, your data centers, is only as good as the reports that you can get out of it. And then how much does those reports need to change or get tweaked? Because the person wanting the report needs to see just a slightly different view of it. I remember having conversations with my manager. I'd bring him a new report about here's the availability targets or here's the SLA targets for this particular application or these particular series of applications. They say, hey, that's great. Can I have it this way? And go back, make a change, spend 20 minutes, come back. Yep, that's great. Now can I change it slightly this way? We make that a little bit easier now. A lot easier now with the new cubes and OLAP cube capabilities inside a service manager. And I'll show you what that looks like. And the last area, and what we'll touch on first, is integration. Integration across the System Center stack, integration into Windows Server, specifically Active Directory, and integration out to third-party management tools through our orchestrator integration packs. And this is a topic that I've had a number of conversations with many of you over the past 24 hours who've come down to the expo hall saying, hey, have an integration pack to this product, to that product. And sometimes I can say, yes, here's where it is. Sometimes I say, no, we don't have those yet. So three areas, integration, process automation, and reporting is where we will spend our time. Integration is across, System Center 2012 was designed from the ground up as a product that can work across itself. Integration for end-to-end visibility means being able to have a view across your infrastructure and not have to wade through multiple records or multiple rows of the same piece of infrastructure. We're able to reconcile disparate data sources to provide that comprehensive view. Gives you a central point of reference across your IT infrastructure, and helps you understand the dependencies and relationships between your assets and your components to support operational activities, maybe new application deployment and design, and any other applications you have inside your organization. Benefit here is we make this easier for you. We make it such that you can take the System Center product stack, take that USB key that you've got in your bags, your private cloud on a stick, or private cloud in your pocket. I saw all the tweets this morning. It's kind of funny. And you can install that, configure your connectors and integration packs, and you can have a working CMDB inside of 48 hours. And majority of that time is you going and getting that cup of coffee or cup of tea like Vijay did with his cool mug, and waiting for the reconciliation to happen. We do a lot of this work for you. So starting with Orchestrator and Service Manager, we have a bidirectional connector between these two components for passing configuration item data as well as runbook information into the Service Manager CMDB. We then have our connectors across the other System Center components that bring data from those components into the Service Manager CMDB, from Virtual Machine Manager, from Operations Manager, Configuration Manager, Active Directory. We're able to pull and we read information from those external repositories, we pull them into Service Manager, and we reconcile those together automatically for you so that you have rich, enriched information about your infrastructure, and you're only looking at a single record. From Configuration Manager, you get patch information, software, what software information is installed, operating systems, detailed hardware information about the server it's sitting on. Operations Manager, you understand what other applications are stored on it, you understand its dependencies across what distributed applications that are involved. At a Virtual Machine Manager, you understand details about what virtual machine templates are applied to this. Is it an actual virtual machine or is it a physical host, so on and so forth. Active Directory tells you what group it is, where it's located. All this brought together and you see that central record. Once you have that information, we can then do something with it. So integration also involves the ability to issue those automation commands, not just from a central point out to the rest of the components, and not just System Center, but any other product that we have an integration pack for. So in this scenario, Orchestrator is able to issue a command, or invoke it, what we call is invoke a runbook, to perform a task in another component of System Center, or align a business application using .NET scripts, PowerShell commands, API programs, whatever integration point you may have. Or using Orchestrator to issue a command out to a third-party management tool, like VMware, or Remedy, or ServiceNow, if you use one of our partner integration packs from Kilvarian. The last part from an integration standpoint is, once we have information in, we can issue commands and invoke runbooks outwards to automate activities, but we can have a central point for notification and for reporting. Notifications via Exchange, reporting out through the Service Manager data warehouse to reports and dashboards. So let's look at what some of these integrations look like inside of inside of System Center. So let me flip over. Oh, and it decides to go to sleep on me. So a couple things I will first talk about. One point of integration is Orchestrator, where we're able to integrate from Orchestrator out to other components. Here I've got a couple of example integration packs built in for, in this case, Virtual Machine Manager 2012. These are all freely downloadable off of Microsoft Pinpoint Marketplace and installable into Orchestrator. These are activities that allow me to, that I can use to build runbooks to actually issue commands. What I'm showing here, and I'll go into this a little bit more detail later, is a runbook workflow or runbook that actually does a website remediation that checks a series of website checks a series of activities, resets IIS, restarts application pools, does a website test, and brings it back up and running. Real quick question. Integration pack for Configuration Manager, it is coming. It should be, actually with GA, it should be done. So I'll double check on that one, but it actually should be done. It is being worked on. It's one of the last ones to come out. We have over 20 integration packs that are available, not just for the System Center products for our 2012 release, but for previous releases of the System Center products, as well as third-party tools, as I already mentioned, BMC, VMware, HP. In fact, if you go downstairs to the server aquarium and talk to the HP guys, they actually use the HP integration pack, built a runbook that builds out all the hands-on lab environment using automation on that big 3-par storage array. It was pretty cool. That's one example of integration. The other one is the connectors that we have inside a service manager. Who's played around with or who has not used and configured connectors inside a service manager? A couple people have not. Okay, I'll show just real quickly. Connectors allow us to connect to other components inside a System Center. Simple example, I have the Virtual Machine Manager connector. Setting one up is as simple as a series of button clicks. I start with name and what am I connecting to, what are my credentials. This will pull across virtual machine template information, service template information, and VMs running inside of VMM into Service Manager. Read-only. Key thing to note, these are read-only scenarios. Connectors are also used to pass back and forth Operations Manager alerts, as well as Configuration Manager DCM compliance scans. Who's using DCM inside within your organization? Do you have the configuration set up to connect into Service Manager yet? A couple yeses? Yes? Works? It's a neat little feature that doesn't always get used. So, just some examples of how we set up integrations across the System Center stack. One thing some people always ask me is, hey, how about can't you show us a demonstration of integrating to a third-party management tool? The answer is, no, I can't. I'm legally not allowed to show a third-party management tool up here on stage and actually demonstrate it. We did it once before, we got in big trouble. So the reason why you don't see us demonstrate those, yes, it can be done. Yes, we have people do it. We're not allowed to show it. So process automation. Three areas I want to touch on from a process automation perspective inside a System Center that enables us to deliver on this idea of service delivery and automation. Our service level agreements is a new capability we introduced within Service Manager for the 2012 release. Release management was a key ask from our own internal IT groups, and is something we brought in as part of the 2012 release, allowing you to manage the release of changes into your infrastructure. And the last area is what I call proactive and reactive operations. Another way of looking at this is, how do we respond to incidents in an automatic manner, or how do we proactively facilitate active tasks like daily, weekly, monthly data center management tasks and make those more effective and more efficient for our customers? Service level agreements. SLAs inside a service manager have a couple of attributes. First one is calendars. We bring in business calendars that allow us to define business hours, holiday information, and we can set up multiple calendars for our groups and for our organization within Service Manager so that we can manage multiple time zones, multiple geographies, so on and so forth. We then use those and define what are called service level metrics. Now, we have these in the box for incident and service request within Service Manager. What I mean by that is you can actually physically see the SLA for each of those work items. Now, what you can also do is these are also available for problems, changes, and releases inside of Service Manager. They're just not visibly seen on the record itself, but they surface as part of the reports. that's part of the define your own time-based metrics. You can create these for changes, problems, and releases, but they are not visibly seen on those work items themselves. You'd have to use the authoring tool and add that functionality. The calendar allows us to specify what's the start and end time for the days and what days of the week that a calendar applies to. If there are holidays in there, what holidays do you want to add? Our metrics allow us to specify things like resolution time, response time, and what is the beginning and end of that metric based upon. Service level objectives, again, as I mentioned, are supported for all the work items. They are tied to a predefined queue. A queue is nothing more than a filtered list of work items inside a service manager. And this allows us to specify for that objective a target or a warning threshold and a target threshold for that particular objective. Warning threshold, hey, your target's about to be breached. Target threshold, your time limit's been breached, and you're now in breach of SLA. Notifications take two forms. One is visual. The record actually physically changes color. The other one is email notifications for warnings and breaches to be able to enforce or encourage action for those SLAs and not just ding people once the SLA is breached. Best use of SLAs is when you set them up so that you engender or encourage proactive response and don't use it purely as a penalty for your operations staff. So you see inside of Service Manager, color coding, down the left-hand side, red, amber, green. You pull up a particular record, you're going to see color-coded listing of a SLA that might be, or in this case, one's in breach, one is not, so the overall color is yellow. A way I look at bringing these two things, these things together, you start with your calendar. What are the business hours you are applying? Add to that your metric, such as response or resolution. Add to that your service level objective. What work item? What queue are you applying this to? And that gives you, your work item SLA. The next area is release management. Release management takes two forms. From a project standpoint, it's when we hand off to operations. We release it into production, and operations takes over. Managing that process on time, on budget, to an agreed quality can sometimes be a single application, a single piece of infrastructure or service, not always. And at least in some cases, what I've seen is the release of that application into production or that change into production doesn't always get a whole lot of priority from the project team. And so quite often it's a little bit of a, hey, we're done. Off to operations. Not always, but sometimes. In operations, it's about managing rollouts of changes, making sure they happen in the most efficient and effective manner. One of the things that good release management helps you do is avoid having to perform changes again and again and again. Give an example of a customer I used to work with that we tried to put in place some release management capabilities. They became a bit uninterested. This was prior to me working for Microsoft. They had a change management window every day. And they were releasing changes to fix changes from the previous day that were fixing changes from the previous day that were fixing changes from the previous week. And it just kept going back and back. And unfortunately, the IT directors only felt that the most effective way was just to throw more people at it. Didn't stop. It was an online service for a financial institution in a country I used to live in. If you used to live there and you know where I used to live, we used to say, g'day, mate. I might not tell you who it is, or you might already know. Within Service Manager, for release management, we introduced a couple of new work items and some new terms. We have a release record work item inside a Service Manager now. We can support release processes up to 5 nested levels inside that. I'll bring up a sample of one of those. We have new configuration item types, environments, and builds. We introduced new roles, a release manager and activity designer. New container activities. This is a neat part that came in as part of release management, and we added it as part of change management, or sorry, service request management. Parallel and sequential container activities. The ability to specify a series of activities that either run in sequence or run parallel within System Center, within Service Manager. We can skip failed activities or skip unnecessary activities if we so choose. Templates, which are part of Service Manager already, and new relationships, parent-child or change to release dependencies. What this allows us to do is really coordinate the changes that we want to deliver in our environment. If I have three projects inside of my organization that I want to deploy changes to over the course of time, and I have some good practices, so I set up a monthly release window of changes into production. Sounds about reasonable. With the changes that I want to deploy, I need to determine where I'm going to schedule those so that they don't interact, and if I need to, define and make a switch and adjust my changes and adjust the deployment based on what's being released when. And if I'm managing those from a central release record, I have the ability to see, have one, have visibility of that, and two, take action. What we make possible inside a service manager, and this is kind of where some of the fun happens. If you have a one-to-one relationship between a change and a release, quite simply, you get your change all set to deploy, you set up your release record, it goes through its approval process, you get ready to deploy that release, you can actually link the change activity to the release record and initiate the automation from within the release. So set up your change, link it to the release. When you're ready to deploy, the release says, okay, I'm going to go start deploying. Go over to the change request, invoke that automation, or go perform that task. If it's a manual one, go do it. If it's an automated one, kicks off the run book and goes performs it. Finishes, comes back to the release record, says, I'm done, release finishes. Now if you have more. So I have a couple of change requests. These all can happen. I can have these happen either in parallel or in sequence. If they're happening in parallel, what happens? I set up first change, I set up my second change. Tie them both to the release record. Release starts marching through, gets to its deploy release phase. Okay, great. Go out to each change request, deploy your activities, come back, tell me when I'm done, I'll finish. If they're running in sequence, start the first change, perform your activities, come back, report done. Now we'll go out to the next change, perform your activities, come back, you're done, and I finish. Your control is there to be able to ensure that changes are not stepping on each other over the course of their deployment. The third area is what I call proactive and reactive operations. This is another way of looking at things at manual versus automated processes, but not just manual versus automated, but making sure you have good automated practices within your organization. It was quoted once by somebody that bad process combined with automation magnifies the intensity of the bad process. Good process with automation magnifies the intensity of the good process. Automation doesn't help unless the process that you are automating is sound. It's one thing, automation has a whole bunch of benefits, whole bunch of bonuses, makes life a lot easier. I talk about it all the time, but one thing I caveat with everybody is you got to get your processes in order. And at least have a good understanding of what you're trying to achieve. Because the moment you turn on that automated process, if it's askew, you're going to see the magnification of that process and of the negative effects of that process happen. What did manual processes often do? They were resource intensive. The only way you could scale it is if you had more people. They were tended to be error prone. Steps got skipped, or steps didn't get performed the same way every time. Quite often, little documentation. One of the ones that's more applicable more and more each day is compliance. How do you demonstrate compliance to a manual process if there's no documentation? Auditors don't like that piece. Tends to have a negative impact on service level agreements, and your support costs increase. This, I know for this room, is nothing new. You're like, yeah, okay, Sean, go. What it does is it ends up causing process activities to jump around, giving you inconsistent experiences. Automation, no, it is not the be-all, end-all, but man, it sure helps. IT services scale up and scale out, whether you have 1, 5, 10, 500 incidents happening at the same time. You can react to them and scale out the reactions automatically. Your outcomes are consistent. Why? Because they're going the same way each time and every time. You're able to capture your best practices. Maybe even let your IT staff go on vacation or holiday for a period of time because you know you've captured a lot of the work they're doing. Not that we don't need them anymore, but it takes work off their plate. They can have a holiday. They can also work on more activities that apply greater value to the business. Your service level agreements improve, and your operational ROI improve. I had this conversation with one of our customers back in Seattle, and I end up having two different types of conversations with customers when I talk about process automation and systems automation using System Center. First one is the IT staff in the room look at me and go, you just worked me out of a job. The other side of the conversation is, that is awesome. Look how many things I can automate, I can get off my plate, and I can go work on all this other stuff that I never have time to do in the day. Quick show of hands. Who likes that answer better? Who thinks the other answer is still a concern for them? A couple of you. Come talk to me. Because I'll be honest, I have a lot more of those conversations. Not of the I'm scared of my job, but the conversations of there's so much more I can now do. Yes, it might require some training. Yes, it might require learning a new skill. But that's the direction. I mean, you saw Brad talk about that this morning. New MCSE certifications for private cloud. New technologies, new opportunities to learn stuff. That's the way things are moving. The consistency enables us to be able to deliver on our service level agreements to our customers to ensure sustained services each time, every time. I won't do that. So some examples of how we deal with automation, specifically using Orchestrator. Provision, deprovision, virtual machines. You heard that. I talked about that yesterday. You might hear that all the time. Provision, deprovision, user and service accounts is another example that you might see throughout the course of this week. Compliance audits. Simple example, desired configuration management using Security Compliance Manager. You apply a Security Compliance Manager cab file to a config-man collection. DCM runs, finds a non-compliance. If you're not using 2012, which allows you to enforce settings, you can then initiate an Orchestrator runbook from that non-compliance incident and actually attempt to remediate before it reports back that you're not in compliant with a particular standard. Deploy remediation packages. I'll show an example one here in a second. Refresh data. Migration of environments. Dev to test, test to prod. When I was doing application development, that was the biggest pain. How do you consistently migrate your applications from dev to test to prod and you don't miss anything? From an automation and service management standpoint, a couple other simple examples. Responding to incidents, enriching incidents, going out and getting additional information so that you can make an educated decision. Automatically addressing alerts and events inside of Operations Manager, maybe not using Service Manager before it gets to Service Manager. Reconciling information around problems. Automatically deploying changes. And better configuration management and audit. A simple example from a proactive process might be something that, in helping improve our SLA, supporting our compliance, and give us process traceability, is having some operating procedures in place that look for errors before they occur, monitor for those, and automatically initiate change. In this case, looking at a virtual machine that needs extra disk space. Initiating that change, create the deployment, pull things into maintenance, add the disk, reconnect it, bring the machine up, update the CNDB, and close the change. And who touched this? Nobody. Except the person that read the report afterwards saying, okay, we updated the application. So let's look at some auto remediation examples. And I'm going to hope this is going to work. So you might have seen we have our Dinner Now application up and running, sitting on a website available for us. And I'm going to go ahead and kill it. Yeah. Little PowerShell remediation script that I should hit now, and boom, I just took my service down. Now, Operations Manager is monitoring this application, so that I'm going to see here in a second, less than a minute, so I should. Yep. I have some alerts now showing up inside of Operations Manager saying, application just went down. Now, if you remember the connectors I talked about between Operations Manager and Service Manager, one of those connectors was our alert connector. What the alert connector does, it's right there, is captures Operations Manager alerts, pulls every 30, or minimum 30 seconds, can go up higher than that. That's why I'm talking a little bit while I'm letting this think. Pulls for Operations Manager alerts, automatically generates a Service Manager incident based on those alerts, and keeps them connected. Biggest challenge that most companies have is they don't turn on this type of integration because the concern is, one, they're going to get flooded with alerts inside their service management tool, and two, they're going to get orphaned. Someone's going to close the alert, the incident's going to still stay out there. Or someone's going to close the incident, the alert's going to hang out there, and nothing's going to happen. We keep these connected. So if you resolve the incident, the alert's closed. You close the alert, the incident's resolved. Those stay connected. So what I should see, I go over here to my Operations Manager incidents inside a Service Manager, is a returned list of incidents that show me my Dinner Now application is now offline. There we go. Yep, that's right about now. Now, if I'll go ahead and open up one of these. One, we see my service level clock is running. Two, do you remember me in yesterday's session, I talked about this concept of templates, where I can predefine activities to automatically tie themselves to a service manager incident, change, service request. Here I have a template that was created called Dinner Now Remediation that automatically tied a single activity to this incident. This activity calls an orchestrator runbook. That orchestrator runbook happens to be that runbook, which is going to go is going to test the application, try IIS reset, test the application, try an application pool restart, test the application, and if that doesn't work, alert the administrator and say, something's not happening, got to go fix it. Benefit here. When a service interruption happens, you're able to automate the first 3, 4, 5 activities that any normal support or operations person would check before you get them involved. What does that do? Saves time, saves effort. Because you know those things are already happening, so if you have to get involved, something's really happening. It needs some work. So I have my remediation. Now, one of the things that we built in to Service Manager for this purpose is a couple of links right over here on the right-hand side. View Associated Runbook, View Most Recent Job. Clicking on these links takes us to the Orchestrator console, brings up our application, our particular runbook. We can see a runbook running here. I'm going to view the instances of that runbook. It's thinking. Actually, that one. View instances is this one. I can see something running here. Let's go ahead and view the details. And look what we have here. We have our runbook currently, it's currently running. And that fails, so it actually might be back up already. I might have picked the wrong one. And we're back up and running. So I picked the wrong runbook, but what we will then go in here and see if I refresh, yes, that one's in progress, so something already checked itself. My alerts should be closed, and they're not, so something's not happening. But what would happen? Demo didn't work. Runbook runs, updates the record, closes the incidents, then what happens? Closes our alerts. What I should be able to do here is look for, pull up this particular alert just to show you how this works. Alert context, where is it? Custom fields. Where'd it go? Ticket ID did not show up. Come across. Interesting. Okay, ticket IDs are not showing up. What I would see happen here, I resolve my alert, or resolve my incident, my alerts close, and my service is restored. The key piece here is the connections between all of my service manager, system center components, from operations manager into service manager into orchestrator and back out, to ensure that my business application, in this case my Dinner Now website, is that service is maintained. And I didn't touch it, actually did touch the website itself. That was all automatic. We were looking at the alerts and the incidents and the orchestrator runbook to perform this. System Center was taking care of the management of that for you. That's the power of automation from a proactive and reactive standpoint. Oh, wait, back up. I wanted to show a couple of other things. The other one is I said I was going to show you a release record. I think I've got one, yep. So an example of our release record, we have a release package and our activities associated with our release record. If you were in my session yesterday, you saw the look and feel of our release records to our service manager service request activities. This is a sample of the type of release record you could set up. Forgive the text, this is pre-populated using Latin. But we have some examples here of parallel and sequential container activities with various release activities embedded within here. Here we have a container activity that I can collapse or expand out. This container activity shows me I have three activities within there, and you see the nesting that we can do. What this will do is activity 698 will execute. It will then call each of these three container activities within it, which in turn calls all their sub-activities, which run sequentially. It will not continue on past its overall activity until all three of these are done. Each one of these will not complete until its activities sequentially within it have completed themselves. But very easily here, I can see this release and see it running when it is being deployed. I can get a simple view of what's in progress, what's complete, what's still to be done. Each activity has, see the little buttons here. This one currently says on hold. When they're running, you'll see it look like a play button. When it's complete, it's a green check mark. very similar to what we were showing here inside the Orchestrator console with these icons. Last thing I wanted to show you was service level agreements. So we have calendars, as I talked about, inside of service level agreements. Here I have a 24-hour and a business calendar available. I'll just pull up the 24-hour. Specified my time zone, specified my work days and hours. I have no holidays, and I can see there's no SLOs related to this at this point in time. I have my business hours set up, Monday to Friday, 8 to 5. Here I see I have a service level objective tied to this particular SLA, or this particular business calendar. And I can click on properties and bring that up, and there we go, and see what queue does this relate to. It relates to my service request queue. I can see the properties and look at what types of service requests I'm looking at. In this case, I'm looking at everything. And I can manage my calendars and my objectives and my queues from here. I have my metrics. In this case, I'm looking at a completion time for service requests and a resolution and response for incidents. I then have my objectives. In this case, it's my private cloud service requests objectives, which is looking at, as I showed, my service request queue, and my criteria is looking at my business hours calendar based on completion time with a 2-hour warning and a 4-hour target. What that translates to inside, my service requests is as I have things up and running. This was open from yesterday. I can see here my service level has breached because my target end date was 9:27 and I had created this a lot earlier in the day. So that being the case, why is that not red? I'll check on that one. So, a couple things we showed. The key one was the automated remediation of our web service. Being able to sustain operations, sustain services, without even having to touch it. The last area I want to spend some time on talking is reporting. Now, just to level set, we have some concepts. We are leveraging, as part of Service Manager for System Center 2012, the SQL Server BI stack for reporting. Yes, we still have SQL Server reporting services, but we leverage a lot more with the analysis services and reporting in cubes. But just to level set on some business intelligence terms, we have the concept of a business objective that helps us answer questions like, why does your company or team exist? What are the objectives you're trying to achieve as an overall business? The acronym is silly, but it works. Objectives must be dumb. D-U-M-B stands for doable, understandable, manageable, and beneficial. I thought it was kind of silly, but it works. People have also said they must be smart, simple, measurable, attainable, realistic, time-based. The idea is your objective helps define what you're wanting to measure. Your goals are your specific strategies used to accomplish your overall objective. You then have a series of metrics which help measure or are a measurement of a specific thing. Examples include things like count of incidents, count of alerts, CPU utilization. These are metrics. KPIs or key performance indicators is a metric that helps you understand how you're performing against a defined objective. It's not a metric in and of itself that stands alone, but it's your target that you're looking to achieve, helps you understand, are you achieving your KPI? Your target are numerical values that indicate success or failure. You have a target of 95% resolution or 98% resolution within 2 hours or response within 2 hours. Targets help drive behaviors. That's why I always say have a warning and a breach threshold for any SLA or any metric so that you drive the appropriate behavior for your organization. Within the Service Manager Data Warehouse, a couple things to note. One, we've optimized it for analysis. It uses a traditional star schema, uses concept of dimensional tables to represent classes, measures, and dimensional tables to represent classes and properties, and fact tables that help represent relationships, measures, and key performance indicators. It uses a conformed dimensional model that helps us simplify queries. It flattens the overall classes. And the neat thing is we take care of a lot of this for you so that you just get to create your reports. The key thing to remember through this, and I'll go through this in the demo, is a dimension and a measure inside of the data warehouse for capturing your reports. The Service Manager Data Warehouse is really a cross-system center reporting solution. Who remembers the System Center Reporting Manager? A couple people. That's fine. What we were able to do is pull data from Service Manager, Operations Manager, Configuration Manager, Virtual Machine Manager, Active Directory for a component-level view of IT. Or sorry, not a component, comprehensive view of IT across each of these components. It enables a direct publish to the data warehouse for custom sources as well. One of the neat things about the data warehouse is if you have another SQL Server-based data repository, you can actually use the data warehouse from Service Manager, extend it over that data source, and it'll create an analysis cube for you, and you can write reports and publish them. Kind of neat. If you can hold your question to the end, I just want to make sure I cover everything. Reporting and dashboarding creation within the data warehouse uses OLAP cubes, powered by the management pack model, makes it easier for us to deploy and maintain these. And you use Excel. And if you're using SharePoint, you use SharePoint Enterprise Performance Point capabilities to build your reports now. Don't have to create SQL. We still have the SQL Server reporting services option inside of Service Manager 2012, but you also have the analysis cubes. This allows us to scale up and scale out our deployments based on what our customer wants to be able to do. The data warehouse components can all fit on a single server if you so choose. You can also scale those out to fit on multiple servers. We have support for multiple data marts, so we can scale it out even further. And a multi-mart processor extension for SQL Server reporting services helps us abstract further that storage layer. One thing to note, the data warehouse is memory intensive. If I run into performance problems and customers saying, hey, its Service Manager is running slow, first thing I ask is, where's the data warehouse server? And how much memory have you allocated to the databases on both of those, on both the Service Manager management server and the data warehouse management server and their associated databases? The more memory you can give all of that, the better you're going to be. Benefits here, we use Excel for creating our reports. We can use Performance Point for creating our dashboards, and they are maintained, they stay up to date, and they ensure that we... they allow us to take those reports and give them to our business users. Remember that example I was talking about earlier? How you create your report, you used to hand it off, and someone says, that's great, can I tweak it? I'll show you an example of what I built that allows you to say, you know what, you can tweak it yourself. And come to me if you want something else done. So let's show you what that looks like. Ta-da! Here's a simple Excel report that I had built up inside of Excel based on the Service Manager Data Warehouse. How did I get here? Inside my Data Warehouse, I have my analysis libraries. I have a new area called Cubes. While it's thinking, what I'm able to do is click and select what types of fields I want in my tables just by selecting values out of a pivot table. Now, remember I talked about remembering two key pieces of information, a measure and a dimension. These are what you need to know inside of creating your reports within Service Manager. Anything prefaced by the sigma sign in the pivot table. That is a measure. That contains a value such as incident counts, SLA targets, so on and so forth. As I scroll down here, I have the assigned to user dimension. It's got a little slightly different icon in front of it. This little looks like a menu selection. That is a dimension. A dimension is the would be your an example would be your row label, such as source. In this case, this one is the source of the incident. I have down here another one, which is incident classification, or my particular status value. But one of the things when I was first picking this up and trying to figure out how this all worked, that helped me tremendously. Understanding a measure has got a numerical number that I want to understand. A dimension is the actual value that I want to look for. So here I have examples of incident counts by source, whether it came from desired configuration management, someone created in the console, or I have an actual email. Now over on the right here, I have some slicers inside of Excel. Who's played with slicers before? A couple people. This is a neat little part that allows you to tweak values inside your pivot table. I have a slicer that is currently tied to, I'll look at my connection, to pivot table one, which is my table right here, incident source. By simply just creating, tying that slicer in, and it's currently tied to the priority field, you can see it's running in my OLAP query down here below. My tables and my associated charts automatically update based on what selection values I have in my slicer. This allows me to easily present and provide a report to my stakeholder and let them pick and choose what values they want inside their report. And I didn't change a thing. I just created the actual slicer in the report. And it's deciding to be very slow. That's still taking a while, too. Something's taking a little while. Let me pull up another example of a report. One thing I also did here is I can take my reports, I can save them into a simple file share directory. I can post them on a website, SharePoint website. I can even make these available through my Service Manager console to be accessible. So here's another incident alert analysis report I have. This is an old example of one that we did a number of months ago. Did this thing come back? It did. So notice here, as I am selecting the different values, my report is changing on me. I can select more than one. And I had to do that. It's going to take a little bit. There we go. I also have another slicer down here, incident classification value, and that is tied to table 3. I'm going to change it and tie it back up to table 1 as well. And now what I'm able to do is now look at my incident count based on priority and based on what type of incident I have and get a sense of which ones came from which locations. So I have 1,233 incidents that came that are related to printing across all priorities. I can change and select networking. See how my values dynamically change. That's all Excel functionality. That's not special coding inside a service manager. That's simple code, that's simple features available straight out of the box inside of Excel. I want to add a new one. I'm going to say insert slicer. I'll use my connection. That's my data connection back to the service manager data warehouse. And let it think for a second. Okay, that's still thinking. Okay. Anyway, that's starting to take a little bit of time here. The benefit is here, I can take these tables, I can copy and paste them, change the attributes of my table, I can add additional slicers, I can manipulate my data just using standard SQL or standard Excel capabilities that I use, that I may use each and every day. Benefit here is you then give the power of being able to build your report into the hands of your information workers and make it much more powerful. We ship about 6 different cubes out of the box across service for service manager, for power consumption, service requests, work items, configuration items, details from configuration manager. Here's my slicer, has come back, and I now have every single different type of dimension inside of the service manager data warehouse that I can select. I might say my incident dim, and I want to look at I'd say by create date. And so here now I can slice my data by date that it was created, or month, or year, and do my analysis there, tie it to a particular table. Notice I'd create, and when I say tie it to a particular table, I created that off of table 1. But because we're using out-of-the-box features, I have pivot table connections. I can tie it to any one of the different tables that I have listed here and use those dates, use that information against that particular table. Very powerful feature, very powerful capability now as part of the Service Manager Data Warehouse. So we touched on our three key areas. Is there a lot more? Yes. There are a number of other sessions all across this week. With members of the engineering team, members of our partner community who are presenting on more and more about Service Manager and Orchestrator from a service delivery and automation standpoint. If something in here piqued your interest, whether it's reporting, whether it's automated remediation, I encourage you to go check out some other sessions that we have happening here at MMS this week. There's a deeper dive reporting session. They spend a whole hour and 15 minutes talking about nothing but reporting at a Service Manager. With some of the engineering team. Be able to go and ask them deeper questions, understand more about how this is built and put together. Process automation, you saw there was an example of that done with some of colleagues and partners about application management. And there are other sessions this week about using Orchestrator and Service Manager together for provisioning and for remediation of activities. Integration is self-explanatory. It's all designed to work together. We focus on making integration easy so you can focus on solving business problems for your customers. Across reporting, across process automation, across the integration, we talked about how this all fits together and how it comes and ties together with the Configuration Management Database, or CMDB, inside the Service Manager. It enables you to integrate not just across the System Center stack, but across third-party management tools as well. With that, your next steps, hey guys, go try it. Don't take my word for it, test it out. You've been doing that, do it some more. Really take this stuff out for a test drive. Make it sing and dance and work for you and solve your business problems. And with that, I certainly want to thank you for your time and patience with me this afternoon. We do have a little bit of time left for any questions you might have, and there are 4 microphones if you want to use them. If not, you want to head on out and get to your next session, please make sure to complete your session evaluations. I look at those. I look at every single piece of feedback and take it on board. So thank you very much. Question, sir.
I know that System Center Operations Manager has diagnostic and remediation actions. Is there any benefit other than the visual workflow functionality to using Orchestrator to replace those?
So the question is, Operations Manager has automation remediation. Yes, you are correct. Orchestrator came onto the scene after Operations Manager had its in place. Would you use one over the other? You certainly could. Is there any benefit to using one versus the other? Well, Operations Manager stays within Operations Manager. The question is, what kind of remediation are you doing, and how will it be maintained for the long haul? Orchestrator certainly has the ability to kick off remediation activities and manage those across more than a number of different tool sets that maybe Operations Manager doesn't. Thank you for the question.
I got a good questions about service level agreements.
Yes.
What I understood is if you talk about service level agreements, you're primarily talking about process service levels. Mm-hmm. What I'm missing is service levels on business services, like availability, 99% per month, and so on. How are you going to solve that?
Forgive me. So the question, if I understand, what about application level or service level technical availability metrics? Application performance monitoring using Operations Manager. You are very correct. We take care of that, and it is done through the APM functionality inside of Ops Manager.
Okay.
So if you come, look up in your booklet, there's a number of sessions on application performance monitoring. If you can't find it, come down to the expo hall to the application management pod in the Microsoft area, and the guys will show you how it all works. But we have application availability metrics and availability
health. Okay,
so
the technical part is fine. Mm-hmm. The thing is, to actively monitor it on a service perspective,
yep.
Service manager, so how often did I fail to deliver the service level from my application,
mm-hmm.
It's currently not implemented.
It's
currently not implemented in Service Manager.
The piece between the actual application availability and breaching a threshold, no, does not, right now that doesn't flow into Service Manager. You are correct.
Something to do for the future.
Something to add to the task list. Thank you. So he's been waiting over here.
So the question I have is, I love your cube data up there, but do you have any sample data for Service Manager that we can actually build those cubes ourselves with, you know, pretty graphs and stuff like that we can show customers?
Yes. Actually built into, so if you're looking at the, just to bring up some quick examples, if I look at, say, some of the incidents I had in here, we have some commandlets inside, so there's a number of those in there. We have some commandlets inside a Service Manager that are run using PowerShell that you can pre-populate the Service Manager CMDB with incidents, problems, changes, releases, service requests, configuration items, basically pre-populate the entire Service Manager solution. If you look on CodePlex, it's called SMlets.
Okay.
If I get your business, if you come up here, I'll give you my business card, shoot me a reminder, I'll send you the link to it. But what it is a command line interface to actually pre-populate your data. One thing I tell people is create your service level agreements first and then pre-populate the data, because it'll set everything up, let it run, and you can start building your reports.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
What are the reporting capabilities around service requests between the reports and the data warehouse? Are they exposed just like incidents and changes?
So we have, it's wanting to be a little slow. For some reason, this particular environment, oh, there we go. So here's the cubes that came out of, that we ship out of the box. So we have our software update cube, a work items cube, which covers incidents, problems, changes, and releases. Mm-hmm. The cloud services cube is part of the cloud services process management pack that we ship as part of, or is shipping as part of the 2012 release. We have a particular configuration item cube, a power management cube, change and activity management, so just changes, and then our service catalog library cube, which talks about purely just service requests. So those are all the ones that we ship and make available to our customers, and then the data that is part of those. You can build your reports using Excel out of.
So that last cube is specific to service requests?
Yeah, that last cube was specific to service requests. This is wanting to be temperamental on me. What I might do, we have the environment sitting off of the SQL appliance downstairs in our pods. run down. That's a lot more powerful than the environment I'm running here.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. I do need to shut down for the next presenters, but please, if you want to have some other conversations, I'll be right down here in about another minute. Come on up. Again, thank you very much. Please make sure to fill out your evaluations.